As a millennial, it's really common for you to want the financial security doing what you love. The problem is, you need to know where and how to find it. This can be frustrating, and it often makes you feel like a loser.
In Finding Mojo, we will help the millennials to get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time benefiting the people around them. Welcome to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. I am Zana.
And I'm Nico. Of course, in this episode, we are honored to have a guest from the land down under, Australia. So let's welcome Clayshare Paciente. She will actually share with us her stories about her migration to Australia, and we will zoom in on how she adapted to the Australian culture.
Well, you know, Nico, this is, I don't know how this universe works in funny ways. Mm-hmm. I met Clayshare in Australia, and we worked together for 7 years. Clayshare is my first Filipino friend.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's like I've met many Filipinos before, but Clayshare is my first. So I have like first love.
With right. Clayshare. You never forget your first, so they say.
You never forget about first love. Like I share with Clayshare about Malaysia, and Clayshare shared with me about Philippines, you know, like the food, the language, the culture. And, you know, like unbeknown to me is now, you know, like down the track, that I got to experience firsthand the people, the places, the culture she told me about, because she graduated from San Carlos, which I passed San Carlos University every day.
Yes,
right? Like I passed from my house to the office, I passed that university. So every time I passed at San Carlos, it will remind me of Clayshare. And we catch up now and then. And then I tried to actually show her my Cebuano language skills. So I said, Clayshare, listen to this. And then she would laugh at me when I tried to speak Cebuano, Bisaya.
Did you give her the thing bits line?
The thing bits. Yeah, Clayshare, no, I haven't shared with Clayshare about thing bits. Do you remember, Clayshare, what thing bits?
Thing bits.
Do you know the term? Or I think you've already left the Philippines. So when that line... or that word circulated.
It's probably millennial language.
I don't know. When I left, the language, I mean, the line that people always say is ocho ocho.
Oh, that's Bayani at Bayani's dance. But yeah. Zana, go ahead. Humble brag. What is Tingbits?
Humble brag, Tingbits is when, you know, like towards the end of the month, when you have only like $2 in your wallet. And you were waiting for your next salary. That's Ting Bit.
That's Ting Bitay. Ting Bitay.
Ting Bitay.
I got it.
See, Zana's learning.
And more than you.
Do you know what's Bitay, Zana?
What's Bitay?
Well, explain it to her, Nico.
Okay, bitay is like hanging. It's like hanging.
It's hanging by the thread.
It's like, right.
Yes,
there you go. So we're going to talk to Clayshare. We have some questions for her. You know what? Let's start with the first question. Clayshare, when did you move to Australia? Did you move alone, or were you with someone? Were you with a family? Were you with your boyfriend or husband? And what made you make the bold move?
Well, I moved to Australia back in 2004 with my young family. So I've got three kids, age 9, 4, and 2 years old at that time. And of course, together with my husband. At that time, I was working for Panasonic Communications as a manager in finance when I made that brave decision to move abroad. Yeah, so career-wise, I would say I was successful in that respect, but I had also recognized that my children were growing up and they need my attention and guidance. Back then, I used to work for more than 12 hours a day or even more than 12 hours a day and most of my weekends. Like, I don't know if it's still the same case in the Philippines right now, because, you know, you work long hours. And
that's
my life before was driven by deadlines. You always have these deadlines and this, and everywhere is like deadlines. So I didn't really have, you know, quality time for my kids because, you know, by the time I got home, I was exhausted. So it's just everything is just all like my kids, I trust them to the nannies. And I was concerned. I was really scared that they will grow up, you know, with lack of guidance. So basically, that was the reason, the lack of quality time for my children, the apprehension of what their future might be, you know, were the driving factors for making that bold decision. So I really wanted to provide them with a better future. Mm-hmm. And I want to be there for them all the way through. And I couldn't do that if I would stay in the Philippines. I know I was successful. I was traveling abroad for business travels and things like that. But for me, that wasn't important. So my kids are the main reason.
And that's a beautiful thing. The fact that you really did make sure that the kids were not left out.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you actually brought the entire family to Australia. Now, what did you find most challenging in adapting to the culture? Because I know, you know, Pinoys, we have our certain quirks. And then you moving to Australia with the entire family. So you have to think about yourself. And then you also have to think, how will the kids adapt to the culture? How will things pan out? How fast will everyone adjust? How did you go about that?
Yeah, I know. It was massive, massive change. And before we actually moved, I was already telling the kids, although they were still very young, but, you know, just try to manage the expectations, you know, that we're moving to Australia. And, you know, Filipinos, when you think about it, I don't know, maybe in general, Filipinos think that, oh, you're moving to a first world country and your life would be better and, you know, things like that, that you don't have difficulties. But no, actually, no, you have to go through a lot of challenges. So I already told them that, and also to myself, and be ready. But you know what? You can't really prepare for it. Even right. If you prepare. Yeah, you can't really prepare for it, because when you move abroad, you will be in a different environment. And I think there are a lot of challenges, but I think there are only three things that I would highlight, you know, for this podcast. Number one is, it might be funny for you, but, you know, I lived and work in Manila, and I think for more than a decade before I moved to Australia. So I used to the chaos, you know, I mean, the traffic, the big crowds, lots of people everywhere.
Right.
And then, yeah, and then I arrived in Perth. Perth is the capital city in Western Australia.
Yeah.
And I was like asking myself, where are the people?
Where's everybody? Be like going 400 kilometers and only like two cars passing you by.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yes.
Wow.
And then you just go out and just like, where's everybody? Where's everyone? Yeah, you will have that feeling.
So the traffic here, you know, is nothing compared to your traffic there in the Philippines. Yeah. So I was like, who are the people? And apart from, you know, only a few people. Because in Perth, we only have like a million population. And the whole of Western Australia, I think it's 3 million something, but we're the biggest state in Australia. Mm. But anyway, so apart from asking myself, you know, where are the people? I was also asking like public transport. There's no...
No Ghibli!
Oh, yeah.
It's not no jeepneys, no tricycles, like nothing. The only public transport here is, you know, the buses and the trains, but they come like every 5 to 15 minutes during rush hours and then hourly. So you have to think about that. And you can't just go anywhere and ask the bus driver to stop. And, you know, but there's a designated area where you only have to. Yeah. So I was like, oh, my God.
There are bus stops.
Are bus stops, scheduled trips. None of those.
Exactly like probably if from, let's say, you will stop at San Carlos bus stop, it will arrive at 7:15. It will arrive at 7:15 or probably 7:17, something like that. Very punctual.
That reminds me of Singapore. Their bus and train system is kind of like that. When you check on Google, if you're looking for an actual, like the exact bus, you know exactly what time it arrives. And it's all visible online. unlike here, you know, nothing
but is ever the positive thing about here is it's affordable. You know, like if you miss the bus or jeepney, you can actually take a taxi and it's affordable. True. But in Australia, taxi is very, very expensive.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
Yeah. It's very expensive.
I agree.
Yeah. And then after a few days, we moved to Geraldton. It's a regional place, you know, in Western Australia, because my husband got the job like after 2 weeks. He got the job, so we moved there. And you can you imagine, Geraldton at that time had a population of only 30,000 people. And it's quite a big place.
Holy moly, 30,000.
It's like moving from Cebu City to probably Bogo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you go like to Buran or Bogo. You move there, like region.
Yeah. I was feeling alone, like, because at that time I didn't know how to drive. And here, having a car and learn how to drive, and they're really the basic things that you need to have. And yeah, it was a shock for me. That was really one of the big challenges that I had to face, and I never been so dependent in my entire life. But then when I got here, because I didn't know how to drive at that time, I feel like I was helpless. I just couldn't do anything unless I asked my husband to, okay, can you drive me to there or book a taxi, which is, you know, Zana's saying it's very expensive.
Right.
So yeah, that was just one of the biggest challenges that I had. And then the other one is the support system that I used to have, you know, in the Philippines. You have the bayanihan, you know, your family, your friends, and other members of your household, like your helpers, you know, they help you, you know, you work, you spend a lot of time in the office, and somebody will cook food for you or clean the house for you. And, you know, but in here, you have to do everything.
True.
You're so the driver, you're the cleaner, you're the chef, you're everything.
Yeah, yes. So you look after the kids, you know, everything. So that's one thing for sure that I was missing, you know, when I arrived here. And the third one is the Australian slang.
Okay.
So difficult for me to communicate at that time. When I arrived and was listening to them, I was like asking myself, are they really speaking English? Because they, you know, Australians, they love to cut or shorten the words. So if you're not familiar with that, you will not straight away get that, you know, what they exactly want to say. Like, you know, so it was difficult for me.
I worked for one of your telcos a few years back as a call center agent, and the one. Yes, I like what I like about Australians is that they can be very chatty on the phone.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're very warm.
Yeah, very warm. Yes.
They're very warm. They're very friendly. Yeah.
Mm. Now,
because they don't have many people to talk to.
Yeah, yes. that makes sense. I mean, come on, 30,000 people, that's nothing. Cebu City alone, we're like close to a million, I think.
Mm, yeah, I think they're more than a million.
Yeah, more than a million. So that's crazy. That's so few people. So now I would understand why they would really like talk to anyone, you know, if they get to have the chance. Now, with the years that you've spent in Australia, would you say you're more Australian than a Filipino? Or would you say you can never take the Filipino out of anyone?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. Yes, in so many ways, yes, I am an Australian. But I think my heart is still a Filipino, you know. I will not forget my root. You know, I still appreciate all the stuff that we value as a Filipino. And I think that's one thing that will never be taken away from me. So in that sense, yes, I am a Filipino.
Okay, let me ask. If there are some things that you can never take out of a Pinoy, wherever they are going to be in the world, do you keep your mineral bottles in the ref, like Pinoys do?
Oh, no. I don't drink cold water.
Oh, you don't? Okay, so...
No, so...
That's because... No, that's not because of whether she's a Filipino. There's one thing that audience needs to know, that Clasia is a health freak.
Oh.
Yes. So when I, you know, sometimes when we were working together, so normally we bring lunch from home.
Gotcha.
And we eat together. And then her lunchbox would have all the rabbit food, salad, and I just go like, Clasia, can you forget that? Let's go out and have proper food. So Clasia is a health freak. She goes salad, she runs, she walks, she do, you know, all those fitness junkie does. Mm. So that's why that she doesn't sense. That's why she doesn't drink cold water.
Yeah, but the plastic bottles though, I'm very, I don't know, very concerned with the environment. I tried not to use plastic bottles anymore, so I have my own water bottle that I use.
Mm-hmm. In that sense, she is an Australian about recycling and not polluting the environment.
There you go. There you go. So I could say, yes, you are more Australian these days. Of course, they can never take the Filipino out of you because you are still Pinoy. Do you still crave the Pinoy food that you usually have? Or do you have like places or spots there where you can still eat Pinoy food?
Sadly, I don't really crave for Filipino food, and I think Zana knows about it.
She doesn't. When I ask her, what's the Filipino food you like? I normally eat pasta. So I'm like,
it's fine. It's totally fine. What I tried though, Vegemite.
I love Vegemite. Yes.
Yeah. I had some like years ago because my mom's cousins married Australians and they're now based, one of them is in Sydney, one is in Melbourne there. So, you know, they just go to and fro. So there, they brought some Vegemite in. I got myself some Sky Flakes, had some Vegemite. It was good. It grows on you is what it is. Because Pinoys, we like the sweet taste.
Yeah, I love Vegemite, but I love vegetables, you know. The salad, Zana, the salad here is vegetables, but when you say salad in the Philippines, you'll be like thinking about the fruit salad.
Yeah. Fruit salad, macaroni salad.
Oh, there's a lot of salad. Or you got some green, but half of the green is actually mayonnaise.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
So like, this is not salad. This is full of mayonnaise.
That is true.
Yeah. So when you say salad here, it's basically a mixture of vegetables.
Vegetables.
Yeah, and Zana would, you know, would love to invite me eating noodles.
So I've actually sort of like orient her back into her Asian roots, going like, come here and have pancit. But I didn't know it was pancit then, you know.
Yeah. With our business, we're looking for professional talents to work with businesses in Australia. Now that you're there, being a Pinoy in Australia, what would your advice be for Filipinos working with Australians? There is a huge gap in the culture. How do you bridge that? How do you get your message across that way, you know, the Australian counterparts can understand the Pinoy better?
Yeah. I think number one is in terms of communications, I would say you have to learn the Australian slang because when you talk to them, it's part of their system. They just say it, you know, they shorten the words. They say something like, it's like, what is that? Like, for example, you say it's cancelled. They would just say it's canned. Or executive, they say exec, that kind of thing. And they talk really fast. So for me, for them to be able to get their message across, you just need to politely ask them, like, can you please speak slowly, you know, so then you can understand what they really wanted to say. And another thing is because they are very friendly. Australians are very friendly. They welcome you. Zana can attest on that one. So that's the first thing. And also try maybe watching Australian movies or listening to podcasts and things, Australian podcasts, so then you're familiar with the Australian slang or even just the accent, Australian accent, because they really have different accent. And another thing, in terms of your services, just need to have a quality and friendly service because they are very friendly. Be honest, if you don't know, for example, whatever things that they wanted to say, and if you don't know, if you don't understand, don't hesitate to say, I don't know. can I come back to you later on, you know, or can you please say it again, or things like that. And also when you're in doubt, just don't be afraid to ask, because they are, as I said, they're friendly and they will explain it to you. And I think another thing is, if you have something in mind that will make things better, for example, how you process things, and if you think that there's a better way to do it, don't hesitate to say your opinion or your suggestion, and they will be mostly welcome. You know, based on my experience, they really appreciate that as well. Just be open, because Australians are very open and they're upfront, and what they feel and what they see, they say it. Mm-hmm. So
I like how what you said about just really asking.
Yeah,
you know, you need to clarify. You don't want to be in that position where you assume things, and then once they give you instructions, you do this and they actually said otherwise, but then you never care to ask for anyway. That's when probably you got called out for that. And we don't want that, of course, because we want to keep their business.
Because sometimes, you know, as Filipinos, we try to please everyone. Oh. I think that is our nature. Like Filipinos, we try to be very hospitable. We try to please everyone, even if, you know, you don't know whether will that be okay or something, as long as, mm-hmm. you know, you try to assume that this is the best way to do it. But in fact, you know, it might not be. So just don't be afraid to really ask the question.
Are Australians big at micromanaging, or are they more into like, hey, you do your own thing? I'll just give you pointers. You do your own thing.
No, they are very. So once you're given a task, Zana, you can also mm-hmm. say something. But generally, no, when you are hired and you have to do this, you, of course, in your application, in your resume, you put all your skill set, like, you know, and you have the interviews and everything. And they would assume that that is your skill set. You actually did that and you know what to do. And then when you start working, they will explain it to you. And then off you go. You do it yourself. You have your autonomy. So, and they expect you to produce quality outcome.
Without detailed instruction. Because we expect that creativity comes from you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like we don't have, they won't tell you A, B, C, how to do it. Because you are hired because they know you can do the work. So they won't tell you how to do the work. They want you to actually come up with what you said you can do.
Yes. It's funny to think, because like sometimes, you know, in the Philippines, if that still be the case, because I knew before, like, you know, you can prepare your resume and you put some stuff there that, you know, this, you know, that. And in fact, you don't actually really know. You only maybe know something a little bit. you know, that kind of thing. But when you apply here, when you say something that you know, you are expected that you can actually do it, because you said so, that you know how to do it. So so when you start your job, when you start working, they will just explain it to you briefly, and it's up for you to figure it out, and you'll be given autonomy, and the supervision is very minimal. And, you know, in my experience in the Philippines is you're very dependent on your manager. Manager will tell you what to do and they will check what you do. Like, you know, you need to have approval every time and you show it to them for them to check and everything. And that's not the case in here.
Yeah. Reason why I asked that is because we want to hopefully get to millennials out there who are listening to this podcast, and they have like a firm grasp of how it is to work with Australian counterparts, because you know, we want to prepare them for what they're in for, you know, because the thing with Australian accounts, of course, there are a lot of BPOs here dominated by US clients. But the thing with Australians is that you're working a day shift. That's like the biggest plus for virtual assistants here. And then even like the BPO cost of the people who work for Australian accounts, that's the biggest plus. You know, you get to sleep at night, you wake up kind of like everyone else, get off work, and there's still light. Something like that. So at the same time, I believe that a lot of Pinoys who get to work with Australians, they have a calmer demeanor. They're more relaxed because of the clients they actually get to work with. You know, the temper meter is they don't go 0 to 100 is what it is.
Yeah.
Rarely do you get those kinds of clients. What else?
What Australians are actually, you know, they value family time.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. So when you start working, you're not expected to do overtime hours. You know, you're expected to go home on time because you have your family. So it's discretionary for you to, you know, stay a little bit maybe for overtime. But if people will see you, they will say like, oh, why are you still here? Go home. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's a conversation in the office. They value work-life balance. And yeah, I think that's the one thing that I really like. And that's one of the reasons basically why I moved here, because mm-hmm. I need to have quality time for my children. And I actually achieved that. Although I was still like, you know, during my first few years here, when I started working, I still have that work mentality that work harder, like you work hard and show it to them that, you know, even you stay late and things like that. But no, it's
the workaholic in you was still there.
Yeah.
Perfect example of that is Zana. There are times where she'd give me tasks and she would tell me, don't work on the weekend. She always reminds me that. Don't work on the weekends. Yeah. Focus on the family, something like that. So yeah. Well,
the thing is, when you work in the weekend, you have no time off. You get burnt out. And by the time you get to Monday, mm-hmm. you are already tired by Monday. It's like Saturday and Sunday, just forget about work totally. And that's my philosophy.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And also because you don't have maids here in Australia. You do all your... you're washing, you're cleaning everything on the weekend.
Yes. That makes sense. Yeah.
So it's like when we meet on Monday. So what did you do, Clacy, in the weekend? Washing, cleaning. Yeah, me too, actually. Like my whole day was doing laundry for the whole week. But as the kids grow older, they can actually take some of the house chores. I think I'll bring that with me as well here. Mm. About I will tell what I want it to be, but I don't tell them how. But then, you know, but there's a thing. And goes like, and it comes out as like, this is not what I really wanted. And I goes like, and because you didn't actually give the right instruction. So I actually go back to myself and say, because I didn't give the right instruction. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm.
But also it will challenge them, like, you know, to really figure it out. Of course, you know, give the right instructions is actually the right thing to do.
Right.
But after that, you know, you give them the chance to have their own creativity, as what you said, Zana, like it will just come out naturally if it's given to them. So they will actually think about it. They will think, what's the best way to do it? Like, you know, do I have to do it like what she wanted me to do it, or I can do it this way? Yeah, I think, and you know what, Zana, you are a modern leader. Those leaders that are... You know, the leaders before, you know, the old leaders are the one who are in command all the time. Like, they want the people to do what they really wanted them to do in their, not in their own way, but, you know, they're dictating and things like that. But the modern leaders now are more considerate, I would say. And also you value your people, because I think the core of your business really is the people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's important to actually, you know, like when you give them a work to do, for me, I want it to be like they'll be proud of their work. It's not because it's my work. No, when you finish something, you should be proud because that's your work. That's your creativity. You think about it. You know, that's your output. I was just giving you a tip on how, you know, like what it should look like. But everything else, you've done it yourself.
Yeah, but it's a nice feeling, you know, they will feel a sense of accomplishment. It's not just finishing the job, but it's also because you thought about it and how to do it, and you made it like, you know, your own. You own it. You own the process. And it's a nice feeling rather than someone dictating you, oh, this is how you do it.
Yeah,
you
know? it wasn't spoon fed. So that's
so
why you have a sense of accomplishment, right?
Yeah, so there is ownership in what you do. So that, I think that's important. And another thing, you know, with COVID as well, people now are really rethinking of what matters really for them. Like, is it just work or, you know, some aspects of their life? So, yeah, and I think it's important that you value that, because people will really appreciate it. I don't know. Maybe that's just my assumption. It's not really proven, but I've noticed that modern leaders, they're not afraid to show their vulnerabilities. If you don't know, you don't know. And if you know, you said you know. And
and then you just go like, I'm sorry, today I am very grumpy.
Yeah.
Today I'm not in a very good mood. So I will tell people that today I'm not in a very good mood. So just be patient with me today.
That's a good way to at least let everyone know. Okay.
Today you have to like be careful with what you say. I'm not in a good mood.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you noticed BSA Solutions. I was actually looking at your website, and yeah, I'm so impressed, and I'm so happy that you're there in the Philippines, like working with Filipinos and helping them. Oh my god! It made me feel guilty.
Yes, it made me feel guilty because I'm like, oh, no, don't worry, your time will come. You know, I'm happy. I'm actually excited for Klesia to come back to the Philippines so I can show her around.
Nice.
I can show her around. Yes.
The Malaysian shows the Pinoy what's in her country.
Yes. And I will make sure that she will eat all the kakanin.
Nice.
You know what kakanin is?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ah, the kakanin. The bibingka, the kuchinta.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like...
Zana, it's kakanin, not kakanin.
Kakanin.
Yeah, kakanin.
Kakanin.
Yeah.
Kakanin. Okay.
Kakanin.
Now,
yeah.
Zana, I know there's one thing that both of you, Klesia, have in common. Both of you actually have podcasts. Tell us more about that.
Yes. Klesia, your podcast, Candid with Klesia, celebrating wins big and small. What inspires you to start this podcast? And what are the message you're trying to bring to your audience?
Well, what inspires me, I think it's coming from a place where I was really looking for a change. Like, I really wanted a change in my life, not just like working. I've been raising my children for 20 plus years already. They're all grown up and adults now. And I just wanted to have a change, like not just work, home, holidays and things like that. I wanted to bring some positivity into the world, and not just for me as well. Prior to this, I've been listening to Oprah, you know, Brené Brown, and all those people inspired me. And I was like thinking, well, this podcast really, what about if I do this? Mm-hmm. And you know me, Zana, I'm not really a very sociable person.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm a little bit timid. But then doing this, it was actually a surprise for me because I couldn't imagine at that time.
Klesia used to not liking speaking in public. She's not like
so doing this, and I've listened to a lot of podcasts and say like, just start small, start now, that's the important thing, and also come out of your comfort zone. Because in that way, you'll be learning. Because if you're in that comfort zone for a long time, you're not learning anything. You're not rediscovering yourself, what you actually can do. So I was challenging myself. And because I want change, then I said to myself, well, why should I not do anything that will... And this is really a big challenge for me, that something that I will come out of my shell and do something quite differently. So, yeah, I started doing that, started watching YouTube and how to do it. And I figured it out by myself, although it's not the same level as your podcast. It's very professionally done. I listened to your first episode.
That's a clap for Nico, not for me.
No, that's for Zana. You should have heard Zana in the first episode then compared to now. She sounds much better. Yes, she's now a natural, I have to say.
Yeah. And then it took me a long time, practice and just really have that confidence. I said well, why am I nervous? I don't have any audience. I'm just talking to myself. So
in your closet.
In my closet. And I've tried a lot of stuff. So I enrolled postgraduate course in a university, and I've withdrawn it because I said, oh, this is not really the thing I wanted. And Zana actually was suggesting to me, because I'm very passionate about Pilates and all the fitness stuff. And he said, like, oh, why don't you do Pilates as an instructor, you know, just to have a change. And I said, like, oh, okay, but this is just for myself. I want something that not just for myself, but also I can share it to my family and friends and also the people who wants to listen to me. So, and that's the main reason why I did the podcast. So
People can find your podcast on Spotify, Klesia, just like Look for Candid with Klesia, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, Candid with Klesia. So with a tagline, celebrating wins, big and small.
Nice. So, how often do you record?
Well, I try to do it every fortnight. Mm-hmm. But in August, when my dog passed away, it was really hard for me. So I had like 2 months break, and now I started back into it. And it's just hard to find a guest as well to interview. So I tried to mix it with just by myself and also a friend or anyone who wants to join me. But I do it every fortnight. And yeah, I'm still in this learning curve. I'm trying to, maybe I'll do a shorter podcast, like 10 minutes or 15 minutes type of podcast. And so if you look at my podcast, it's not really consistent. So there's a 30 minutes, it's an hour, or there's just 15 minutes. But I think for your audience, it'd be nice if you have consistency.
A set time for them, you know, something for them to expect. Now, this is like a 30 minuter, this is like a 45 minuter, this is like an hour. Okay.
Yeah. And also the timing, if you want it on a weekly or fortnightly, your audience will just like, oh, okay, I look forward for the next episode. And it comes on every 2 weeks, for example, or a weekly thing. So yeah, but I'm still learning. So this is my personal project. So I'm doing a few things actually for myself while I'm working full time. And I'm really struggling because, you know, my work, and Zana knows that it demands a lot of my time as well. So when I'm at work, I'm really like, you know, but now I also have my personal project, which is really, really good. Like, you know, during the pandemic, I think it's time for us to rediscover ourselves, because you can actually do a lot of things now with this one. See, you can do it virtually. We can have a chat, and you know, the technology will enable you to do it. So I have my website as well. I'm doing blogs. So at the same time, I have the podcast, and I have another project which I don't want to talk about it yet until I.
So where do people go to see your blog?
Yeah, it's just search for candidwithklesia.com. So that's my website, and you can see my blogs and my podcasts in there as well if you don't have Spotify. So yeah, it's nice. So it actually came from a place of wanting to have change, and I made it happen. So
well done, Klesia. It's just so impressive.
Bravo,
yeah, bravo. Impressive. Yeah. And then how she actually deliver it. I love the way she sounds in the podcast. So everybody, you know, go and visit Candid with Klesia and listen to Klesia.
I just like, maybe because my name is not really common. So the Klesia is actually like coming from a word glacier, you know, the ice. Just change it to C. So it becomes Klesia. So it's. That's a way to, you know, remember.
Yes. Klesia, like glacier. That's the first thing Nico asked me. How do I pronounce her name?
Right.
I said, Klesia, like glacier.
There you go. So I guess that's about it, because I know Klesia is a busy woman out there. So thank you so much for joining us here for Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. Go check out the website, candidwithklesia.com. You get to see the website, the blog, and of course, you also get to listen to the podcast as well. There's a link right there. Any other parting shots before we go?
Yeah. Thank you, first of all, thank you so much. I'm also honored to be your guest. And I think just the message is really, whatever your passion is, go for it. Don't be scared. If you want to move abroad, just do it. You know, if that's what you think would be better for you, just do it. Because especially in Australia, you know, we are experiencing labor shortages. So when the borders are open, be ready and go for it. And also for the BSA employees who are working for Australians, the best advice is just be honest, be friendly, and don't hesitate to ask questions if you don't know.
Thank you, Klesia.
Thank you so much, Klesia, of course, for giving us your time. And thank you for listening to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. This podcast is brought to you by BSA Solutions Incorporated. Till the next one, cheers. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, where we help millennials get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time, benefiting the people around them.